In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about Satan in the view of Islam. Please be with us.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank with every breath I take.
Today, Sunday, is the 24th of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of this program, today's special, by recitation of Chapter Al-Baqarah, Verse 34.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
And mention when we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam. So they prostrated, except for Iblis. He refused and was arrogant and became of the disbelievers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It should be noted that this verse, Verse 34 of chapter 2nd, is the most valid piece of evidence and a vivid witness to the magnificence and nobility of man whom, after his being created, all the angels were commissioned to make obeisance and pay homage to and bow before that splendid creation. According to the verses of the Holy Quran, Iblis was not the same nature as the angels, but he was from a different genius, that is, of the jinn, of the nature of matter, who had been assembled among the angels. Satan as man's sworn enemy. Satan is what he is because he's jealous of mankind. He does not accept Allah's decrees concerning them or him. He can't stand them and wants to destroy as many of them as possible. Accepting man as Allah's vicegerent on earth and as an honorable being preferred over much of what Allah had created was not compatible with Satan's delusions and self-absorption. Satan knows that these actions warrant him an eternal punishment in the hell, but as long as he fills it with multitudes of people as well who will share with him his fate, he is fine. Allah thus reminds men, verily Satan is an enemy to you. It is in chapter Al-Fatir, verse 6.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bayna sta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with studying various ways of satanic temptations. Now we find that the name of Satan, as indicated in this Quranic verse, is Iblis. And elsewhere in the Holy Quran, we find that Satan and in Arabic Shaitan are indicated in the Holy Quran. So at least there are at least two names of the Satan as expressed and indicated in the Holy Quran are available. One of them is Iblis and another one is Shaitan. Well, both of them refer to this to one and the same personality or one and the same entity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated it in the Holy Quran that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Satan about what was the reasons of his not prostrating himself against in favor of Adam, Satan answered in this way, "Ana khayrun min," I'm better than him. That is, Satan expressed that he was better than Adam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينٍ. You created me from fire and created him, that is Adam, from mud. And elsewhere in the Holy Quran, Satan expresses in this way, أَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ تِينَ. Do you expect me to prostrate myself in favor and before another being whom you created from mud or clay?
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Again, as the previous episode of today's special, we look at some strategies of Satan. One of the best strategies of Satan is loving this world too much. So brothers and sisters, take care. Loving this world and life will make us forget our main purpose in this world. That is to worship and obey Allah. And once you forget that, well, that's exactly what the enemy wants, right? The other strategy is never remembering death. This one is similar to the first one. It's important to think about death. When we remember death, we will realize how temporary this life is. Thinking about it also makes us patient in the hardship of this life. So when a person rarely ever thinks about death, his or her heart becomes hardened and his or her love for this world grows every day, something which will definitely make the Satan happy.
Ya Rabbi, 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 Ya Rabbi.
On the continuation of today's special, we'll learn more to defeat Satan. So that's the question, how to defeat Satan? Remember Allah at every available moment and ask Allah to help you against the enemy. The remembrance of Allah represses the Satan. It puts him in distress and inflicts injuries upon him like the injuries whips and clean inflict when used. This is why the Satan of the believer becomes weak and frail. This is because every time the Satan interferes with him, the believer releases upon him his whips of remembrance, of turning towards Allah, of seeking forgiveness and obedience, and he will be successful. Thus, his Satan will be in severe state of punishment. On the other hand, the Satan of the evildoer gets a lot stronger and arrogant due to him being in a state of leisure and gentleness. So whoever doesn't punish their Satan in this world with his remembrance of Allah, his monotheism, his seeking forgiveness, and his obedience towards Allah, then they will be punished by their Satan with a blazing fire in the hereafter. So there is no escape from whether you punish your Satan or get punished by him.
Encounter of the prophets with Shaitan. The Holy Bible speaks of many encounters of Satan and prophets. But amongst the most interesting encounters of prophets with Satan within the Holy Bible, which is also recorded within the Holy Quran, is the encounter of the prophet Job or Ya'qub or Ayyub and Shaitan. Ayyub was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that would constantly glorify Allah. He would thank Allah. He was constantly pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered to him. Shaitan says, "Oh Allah, the reason why he is so pleased and the reason why he is so happy and constantly remembering you is because you have given him everything. You have given him children, you have given him wealth, you have appointed him as a prophet, you have given him dignity, you have given him honor. What else could he ask for?" So Allah allowed Shaytan to test Ayyub, just like Shaytan is allowed to test every other human being. However, the prophets and the infallible and the believing men and women, the more their level of iman is higher, the greater the level of iman, the greater the test. So, Shaitan, and a long story that you've probably all heard, takes away his children, takes away his wealth, takes away his properties, takes away everything, including his health. His health. He was a healthy man. Now his body is full of diseases, illnesses, pain. He had a wife, an honorable wife, a believing wife. They became so poor that she actually had to go and sell her hair. Sell her hair in order to buy a loaf of bread and to bring it to the Prophet of Allah, Ayyub. And Ayyub kept telling her to thank Allah, to glorify Allah, to remain patient. Until this test was removed.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic, that is the difference between Satan and Iblis and the concept of both of them. So we meet you soon. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. And fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi. محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
food for thought.
Salam, dear listeners, and heartiest felicitations to you on the occasion of Mubahele, the day on which Islam triumphed in a memorable debate with the Christians, when, as commanded by God, the Prophet took his immediate family, the Ahlul Bayt, that is, daughter Hazrat Fatima, son-in-law Imam Ali, and grandsons Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace upon them, to the appointed place to prove that Jesus was a prophet and not the Son of God as alleged, since God is too glorious to have such human attributes as the need of son, wife, or children. Here is a famous saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The likeness of my Ahlul Bayt is that of the Ark of Noah. Whoever boards it is safe, and whosoever stays behind is drowned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith. And this hadith is a part of a very lengthy hadith in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives his advice to his companion, Abu Dharr. He mentions a lot of things to this companion, Abu Dharr, and gives him a lot of advice. A part of that hadith is something related to the etiquettes of knowledge. The Prophet said the following, O Abu Dharr, When you are asked about something of which you have no knowledge, say, I do not know. And you will be saved its repercussions. Okay? So a lot of times, we're asked something, but we don't know the answer to it. Right? But we don't want to seem ignorant, so we make up an answer. Or we kind of beat around the bush, so don't really say, I don't know, but at the same time, don't answer the question. Right? So what the Prophet says, it's the best thing to do in this situation is simply say, I don't know. The Prophet then continued and said, and do not give verdicts about that which you do not know. And you will be saved from the chastisement of Allah on the day of resurrection. So not only does it have worldly repercussions, answering a question one does not know about, but in the hereafter as well, one would be punished for trying to answer something one does not know about. And this is especially true about a religious question. If somebody is asked advice or asked a question about something religious, it's best just to say, I do not know. In the same vein, and echoing the same theme, Imam Ali has been reported to have said, the scholar, the alim, the one who has true knowledge, never feels ashamed to say, I have no knowledge about this. When he does not know something, he should simply say, I do not know. This is one of the true signs of the true scholar and the true person with true wisdom and true knowledge. Conversely, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam condoned the person who tries to answer each and every question that he's asked. Imam Sadiq says, verily the one who answers every question posed to him is insane. The word that the Imam uses is lamajnoon. He is crazy. He is insane. Nobody can know every answer to every question. A normal person, barring the Imams alayhi salam. Right? They have knowledge of everything. Of course, that God Almighty has told them about. But aside from these individuals, right? If somebody, is a normal human being and has, not immaculate and not infallible, if he's asked something, it's not necessary for him to answer each and every question that he's asked. Imam Sadiq also said the following, when a knowledgeable person is asked about something he does not know, he should say, Allah knows better. And none but a knowledgeable man will say that. Right? So this is one of the etiquettes of knowledge that has been mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad and also his successors, Na'ima alayhi salam. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of not answering every question that one is asked, and also the virtue of saying, I don't know, when asked a question one does not know the answer about. In the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his successors, the A'imma alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجك.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us again. Thank you so much, respected brothers, Brother Ali Nasser. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Salam. Alhamdulillah.
Fine, inshallah. That's great. How about Hussein Rahullah? Salam.
Salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Fawad Haider, salam alaikum. Are you good?
Yes, salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
في القرآن سعادتنا مدى الأزمان وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح ويطوي
عثرة المجروح. So respected brothers and sisters, thanks for joining us again and listening to us. Inshallah, in this session we are going to continue learning about the Nuni Sakina and Tanween rules. So alhamdulillah, we finished all the rules about Tanween and Nuni Sakin. Just today, inshallah, in this session, we're going to have a quick review and some practices on the verses of the Holy Quran Kareem. And inshallah, then we'll go through the next rules regarding Mim Sakin. Nuni Sakin finished and Mim Sakin. There are like three rules about Mim Sakin. Then inshallah, we'll cover them. All right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, is everyone ready?
Yes.
Let's go, inshallah, but with reciting a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
So in previous session, we talked about the last topic that we covered was about ikhfa, right? So yes. Ikhfa means?
Hiding.
To hide or hiding. So it is very important when we want to learn about Tanween or Nuni Sakin rules, it is very important to understand and to know what is the following letter after Tanween or Nuni Sakin. So based on that letter, we apply one of the rules. Yes?
Yes.
The next letter after Tanween or Nuni Sakin, it's called the following letter. So if the following letter is from throat letters, six letters, yes? Hamza, ha, ha, kha, ayn, ghay. These six letters. So what rule is applied with these six letters?
Izhar.
The rule izhar with hamza, ha, ha, kha, ayn, and ghayn. So whenever one of these letters come after tanween or nun sakin, you have to apply the rule izhar. And how do you apply the rule? Without
chain.
Any changes, just read the Tanween or Nuni Sakin. Minhu, ahadan, whatever, okay? For example, Hamza comes, Ayn comes, Kha comes, whatever. So, and whenever the letters from the Yermalun word, the word Yermalun, Ya, Ra, Ma, La, Waw, and Nun. One of these six letters, if they come, one of them, after Tanween or Nuni Sakin, what rule was applied?
Idgham.
What does it mean?
Merging.
We merge these letters, okay? The Tanween or Nun Sakin to one of these letters. As if we put a tashdeed or shadda on the top of one of these six letters, yes?
Yes.
And that Tanween or Nun Sakin will be? Skipped.
Yes.
Yeah, we double that next letter, yes? And also, we had two types of idgham, ghunna, without ghunna, and with ghunna. These two types, okay? That we covered them all. So, and whenever the letter ba comes after tanween or nuni sakin, the rule?
Iqlab,
which means changing, right? Changing the sound of tanween or nuni sakin to a half meme. Yes?
A
half meme. So, and the sign of this iqlab is also clear. A tiny meme or a baby meme is written on the top of the letter or beneath the letter with harakat fatha, kasra or dhamma.
Yes.
Okay, after tanween or nun sakin. Alhamdulillah, they were all these three rules. And for the rest of the letters, the rule was very easy. We have to apply the rule.
Ikhfa.
Which means we have to hide the sound of the noon or tanween.
Tanween.
And we had two types of ikhfa. Ikhfa with ghunna with heavy letters. Ikhfa with ghunna with light letters. Light letters, we apply ghunna lightly, yes?
Yes.
And heavy letters, we apply the rule. Ghunna, but heavily. For example, yaw, this is heavy. For example, faman, look the sound. The sounds are different.
Yes.
One is kind of heavy. You open your mouth up and down. Yaw. The sound is clear, yes? It has like what do we say? A bass sound or something like that? Yeah? An echoing sound.
Yes.
Mao, yao, famen, light one. Very
kind
easy.
Of reflecting?
Yeah, yeah. So that is the sound. Famen sha, for example, okay? Andaronakum. But with heavy ones, mao tago. Look, why? Because you're close to a heavy letter. And you're trying to read that heavy letter. That's why the sound of tanween or nun sakin kind of becomes influenced or becomes affected with that sound of that heavy letter. For example, we say ada ben, okay? But qaf is there. You say qa. It is a heavy letter, yes? Ada ban qa qariba, because of the pronunciation of that heavy letter. Okay,
yes.
If that is a light letter, easily. You do not need to, for example, bounce your, echo your sound or something else, okay? فَمَنْ شَاءَ easily. Yeah?
قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يَبْكِي يَسْأَلُ خَالِقَهُ فَأَتَاهُ الْوَحْيُ فَأَشْرَقْ اِقْرَأْ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
So these two types of ikhfa we had ikhfa with light letters, ikhfa with
heavy letters
that we applied the ghunna with these two types of letters. So alhamdulillah, we finished all of them. Now we just reviewed as well, okay? And if there is any question, you can ask me. If there is no question, we will continue. One more important point was here that about idgham with ghunna, we had like four exceptional cases. Do you remember those four words? That we have no nisakin and we have yarmalun letters after it, because they both occur in one word. This is an exceptional case. We do not apply the rule idgham. The word sinwan,
yes.
qinwan, bunyan, and dunya. These four words.
Bunyan and dunya, yes.
Yeah, bunyan and dunya. So, how do you apply the rule idgham?
We don't apply.
You do not apply. Okay, good. What if you apply in these words? How it becomes?
Sinwan.
Yeah, you skip the noon.
Yes.
Yes, and you double that letter waw. Siwan. But yes, that's wrong. Okay, what was the next one? Qinwan. Apply the rule idgham.
Qinwan.
It has another meaning. Sinwan has another meaning. If you recite it as Sinwan or Bunyanum Marsus, this is correct. But if you recite Buyanum Marsus, this is completely wrong because it has another meaning. Maybe it doesn't have any meaning. But bunyanum marsus, okay, this is the exact meaning that Allah Almighty has sent this,
yes,
ayah with that meaning, okay? So these four exceptional cases. Or you say, fi dunya wal akhirah. How do you apply the rule if you apply?
Fi
dunya wal akhirah. While dunya has another meaning, okay? Dunya has another meaning. So,
yes,
they do not match each other, okay? The meaning that Allah Almighty wants with the word dunya, but duya, no. So, alhamdulillah, you learned all the rules about this tanween and nun sakin, these four rules. As I told you in the previous sessions as well, learning them is not important. But how to apply them is important. Because people, a lot of them, okay, they know, but they do not apply. Quran Kareem says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Why do you say things that you do not apply? Yes?
Yes.
Why do you learn things that you do not apply? If you learn all these rules, okay, and you do not apply them in the Quran, as if it's equal to zero, nothing. Okay? So you have to apply every single rule that you study. You learn, okay? So at least we have to be able to apply these four rules. Like, for example, in a level like level one and level two, like at these levels, if we apply it, it's correct, not at the top level. Because it needs some time, okay, to practice and cover them, okay? I myself, I think I learned them like, because when I was a kid, like, not a kid, I mean 10 years, 9 years old, I learned them, okay? And I didn't understand them. I was not able to apply them correctly. So when I grew up, like after many years that I didn't go to like Quranic courses anymore, like for 5, 6, 7 years. But after that, okay, when I started again and time and again, I practiced and I applied the rules, okay, the teachers told me, I learned when I was listening to reciters, okay, when they were making mistakes, okay, applying the rules, okay, I was noticed, oh, here he made a mistake. Then I was trying to fix his mistake, okay, while listening to them. With myself, I was fixing, okay, that he had to, like, recite this way, he had to recite this ayah in this case, okay, in this way. Then, alhamdulillah, step by step, I learned. Now I'm good at applying the rules, okay? But if someone is better than me, that of course there are, they will understand that. If I have mistake, they will understand that, okay? So, but it is very important for you to apply, but it takes time, okay? So don't worry, if right now you cannot apply all of them correctly, don't worry, okay? It needs time, okay? Inshallah, time makes it perfect, okay? So just you keep practicing. One very important point is here that I have to tell you. Please go to page 578 of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Qiyam. Okay? There is a special rule for page 578, ayah 27. Ayah 27. وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقَ. Do you see it? Okay.
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقيل من راق. There is a nun sakin, right? And after nun sakin we have ra, the letter ra. What rule should we apply?
مراق we should.
إدغام. Yes. While you listen to the reciters, they recite this way. وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقَ. No idgham.
Izhar.
Why?
No idhar.
Why they stop here?
They stop here. If you take a look, there is written a baby scene is
yes,
on the top.
Yes.
So what does it mean? No.
Laq.
No. Scene is the sign of sakt. Have you heard in Persian they say sakte? Sakte maghzi.
Yes.
Okay. Sakt. It means like kind of heart attack. Okay. So here, this sign tells you that you have to kind of break your breath. Okay. And just make a pause. Okay. Without taking another breath. With the same breath. Okay. وَقِيلَ مَنْ. No other breath. The same breath. Just make a pause here. Do not read it. Do not connect them. وَقِيلَ مَنْ. Just a small pause, then continue. See you inshallah in the next session. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. So we will be back. Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran.
a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوه يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته
Brothers and sisters, we have reached this excerpt of the Kumail supplication. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ ضَعْفِي أَنْ قَلِيلٍ مِّنْ بَلَاءِ الدُّنْيَا وَعُقُوبَاتِهَا And you know my weakness before a little of this world's tribulations and punishments. وَمَا يَجْرِي فِيهَا مِنَ الْمَكَارِهِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا And before those ordeals which befall its dwellers. عَلَىٰ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ بَلَاءٌ وَمَكْرُوهٌ قَلِيلٌ مَكْثُ Even though it's a tribulation and ordeal, whose stay is short. قَسِيرٌ مُدَّتُ Whose subsistence is but little. فَكَيْفَ احْتِمَالِي لِبَلَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَجَلِيلِ وُقُوعِ الْمَكَارِهِ فِيهَا So how can I endure the tribulation of the next world and the real ordeals that occur within it?
وَهُوَ بَلَاءٌ تَطُولُ مُدَّتُهُ وَيَدُومُ مَقَامُهُ
Because it is a tribulation whose period is long and whose station endures. In this part of the Kumail supplication, Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about the difference between the tribulation of this world and that of the hereafter. The tribulation of this world, as stated by Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, is so different from that of hereafter in several ways. First, the hardships of this world, such as the storms, the earthquakes, the floods, the famine, the expensiveness of the goods, loneliness, and the diseases that bothers human, has a short stay. They have a really fleeting period. But human tribulations in the last day have a long stay. They have enduring stations. And the second aspect, the tribulation of this world, differs from that of the hereafter, is that some worldly challenges and problems are a form of divine trials. If human is patient in these difficulties, if the human beings can maintain their belief within these problems, within these tribulations, they will be greatly rewarded and they will be subjected to Allah's satisfaction. By the same token, the prophets were patient with the torturing of their people. Also, some of the Allah's best friends, like Asiya, the Pharaoh's wife, and Habib al-Najjar, had tribulations in his way and by his will. But the tribulation of the last day is merely the chastisement of human sins and disobediences in this world. We'll be back, dear listeners, after a short break.
Oh, generous one, oh Lord, you are aware of my weakness to bear even a minor affliction of this world and its consequence and adversity, although such afflictions are momentary, short-lived and transient. How then can I bear the retributions and the punishments of the hereafter, which are enormous and of intensive sufferings, of prolonged period and perpetual duration, and which shall never be alleviated for those who deserve the same, as those retributions will be the result of your act?
Thank you, Allah,
now that we hear,
feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So these are the two differences between the tribulations of this world and hereafter. The hardships of this world are having a fleeting period. They have a short stay, but on the last day, they have a long stay. They have enduring stations. And the second point about the tribulations of this world is that some of them are the divine trials, and the tribulations of the last day are the chastisements of the human beings and their disobediences of this world. Now, the Holy Quran considers Allah's accompanying human a result of obeying Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a result of obeying the Prophet and being patient with the committing sins. This verse of the Holy Quran says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And obey Allah and His Messenger. Do not quarrel, for then you will be weak in heart, and your power will depart. وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And be patient, surely Allah is with the patient. This is the importance of obeying Allah. Among the conditions for acceptance of a prayer is abstinence from sins, and of course repeating of them if one committed them. This is what this verse is suggesting. Obey Allah and His Messenger. And committing sins is a kind of disobedience. Let us end our discussion in this regard with a tradition from Imam Baghir alayhi salam, who says, it so happens that a person asks Allah for a need and He subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to fulfill it sooner or later, but the person commits a sin during this time. So Allah the Exalted says to the angel, do not grant his need and deprive him of it, because he has exposed himself to my wrath and deserves to be deprived by me. If the human being recognizes the kind of chastisement waiting for him in hereafter, فَكَيْفَ احْتِمَالِي لِبَلَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَجَلِيلَ وُقُوعِ الْمَكَارِهِ فِيهَا. Imam alayhi salam says, he will never let himself commit these sins again. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program. We ask the Almighty Allah to sit us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. Dear sisters and brothers, welcome to IRIB English Radio. This is Q&A on Islamic belief, where we shed light on your main questions. I am Asma, your host for today's episode, and here with us, we have Brother Nur Muhammad, the scholar of religious studies. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to your home and thank you for coming.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me and I'm happy to be here.
It's actually a pleasure to be with you. The first question is like this. Was Muawiyah the writer of holy text, I mean the scripture, or has he ever done any sacred writings? This is the first part of the question. And then you answer this and we go to the other part of the question.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that